Hi, and welcome to the Sam Welding Podcast, where I look behind the scenes at writing books and songs. I hope to look at the whole process, from the creative spark to the final customer reaction. This time, I'm going to look at doing a festival gig, a book gig that is, by myself, with three back-to-back workshops and 200 children. And just to make it more interesting, I'm going to do three separate workshop presentations aimed at three different age groups. I am, of course, talking about the Lanark Encounters Festival this week. In my case, a build-up to a festival usually starts with a contact email, either picked up from a website or a site called Contact an Author, or the Scottish Book Trust, or in this situation, by a recommendation from a previous festival organiser. An email wings its way to me somehow. Educational and library professionals talk, and at the moment there are quite a few authors at Strident Publishing who are all on the radar of librarians and teachers. Cathy McPhail, Keith Charters, Kirtland Saccone, Linda Strachan and myself, to name a few. After the first email, there are usually a few more exploring price, the timings of the sessions, themes covered, age group catered for, equipment required, and expenses that may be due. After that, it's usually time to send a contract or invoice, along with a current author picture and marketing shots of the books themselves. Once the festival brochure is completed, it's likely that you'll get emailed a copy in PDF form. Then I would probably create an event on my author Facebook page and invite basically the whole planet. Leading up to the event, expect a few emails or phone calls to check that you're still coming, have it in your diary, are not dead. And a few days before the event, I go over any PowerPoint presentations, PDF files, just I check they're up to date and that they all still work. The night before the event, I usually rehearse any songs and guitar, go over any readings, place bookmarks, etc., and make a checklist of things I need on the day. Even though they may say they provide a projector and screen, I always have backups. My list tends to include a data projector, my Apple MacBook Pro, an iPad as backup, a memory stick with all the presentations on there just in case. This allows me to be flexible. I can use the stick in emergencies, but prefer to use more MacBook, as I know the format of my presentations won't change. You know the kind of thing, the colours go all weird and the text is misaligned. I even have big laminates of the presentations, often held back in the car, just in case the whole tech thing goes haywire. Back to my list. I have mouse puppets, an owl puppet, fake corn made out of sponges, of course, fake giant owl pellets made out of Play-Doh and plastic bones, my guitar, a selection of books to take on the day in case the venue runs out, and they often do, cranes, paper, wallpaper, a clicker with a laser pointer, a plug extension cable, marker pens, my rubber goldfish, don't ask, posters, promo cards, a spare invoice, an order form, promo leaflets, change money for a float, a pen, my specs, most importantly, an asthma UK poster, an inhaler, something I can write on instead of a flip chart, a clip mic, and a small amp. Then, in the morning, I pack the car, I plug in the sat-nav, postcode of the venue, and make sure I get there 15 minutes before I have to. I meet the main organiser or facilitator, allocate the toilet, very important that one. I get my first look at the venue and the presentation area. I check the seating and I work out how I will get the space I need for art and puppets and guitar, etc. I see if I need a clip-on mic. I try and be calming and reassuring to the organisers. I try to find out about the aims of the festival. I try to sit up with at least 50 minutes to spare, as I said, and get a glass of water handy. Then I wait in the kids, and the show begins. I sometimes have a rough plan of events to keep me on track, or if it's a speech, I'll use my iPad teleprompter app. This is a brilliant wee thing and keeps me on track and, more importantly, on time. I always say thanks for any food or drinks laid on, and also try to meet and thank as many staff as possible. This is never a chore. It's always great to meet the people who've had the spark to put these things together in the first place, the unsung heroes. I perform the workshops, but sometimes have to improvise. For example, one of the buses was a bit late for my first session, so I played different guitar styles for the kids and asked them to guess what countries the music came from. You know, Spanish guitar, that type of thing. There's often some system in place for selling my books. Waterstones or a local bookshop may be there, or the library may have bought some books in advance, or a local book supplier may be present. I spend time at the end signing books and often artwork or even scraps of paper. This is, of course, absolutely fine. At the end, I always say a huge thank you to those who asked me along in the first place, and I ask for feedback. I either leave or send an evaluation form. After I've packed up, I try to think of ways to improve the sessions, make them more interactive, think of things I missed, etc. I email a thank you after a few days as well. It's always nice to be nice. The Encounters Festival was well run, well organised and well supported. I couldn't have asked for more. News-wise, I've had more articles published by local and national press, which is great. This is for the Eden Seed book by Damien Peck, which is my pen name for the adult books I write. But here's the rub. Do these press articles make a difference? It's nice to be compared to Dan Brown, etc., and get some really well-written overviews, but does this result in more sales? The truth is that it's all part of the marketing machine. There's a difference between articles and reviews, the latter being more risky prospect. In marketing, we were always told that you raise awareness, people buy, and then you get advocacy, people buying on recommendation, which is always the best result, I think. Some of this advocacy happens when people put their own reviews on Amazon or tell friends or a store manager actively recommend your book. I'll finish off with a verbatim account of the Daily Record article, which appeared in the book club section by Shari Lowe. The Record is probably the biggest newspaper in Scotland, around 600,000 readership, but it's read all over the world by holidaymakers and expats as well. Here goes. In our series aimed at shining the spotlight on emerging authors, Damien Peck takes us undercover of his fantasy thriller, Eden Seed. Damien said, "I wanted to write about greed and human failings. I wanted a flawed hero, a sinner with no military skills or special abilities. I wanted an older woman, a Moneypenny type character, to play a much bigger part in the larger-than-life adventure. I thought back to my university days where I stole some dead specimens from the museum to avoid collecting live ones. I used this as a starting point." The Daily Record went on to say, "Here the prank leads to the discovery of a wonder drug that sparks a battle between corporate giants and rips the hero's life apart." Not bad. I can only hope that someone somewhere reads this and wants to know more. I've already pitched the idea to a very successful film producer in London along with my publisher, but it wasn't right for them, and it wasn't the best pitch ever. Next time, I'll be more prepared. You learn from everything in this business, every success, every failure. Anyway, until next time, if you keep tuning in, I'll keep tuning up. Bye for now.